What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 165. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there. Hope everybody has a safe and sane Thanksgiving. Eat some turkey or whatever you're eating out there. Looking forward to it myself. Watch some football games. But for the hype, we've got some things to talk about. We've got our feast or famine section where we're going to go over some of the top players, some of the top NBA draft picks. And are we going to feast on their cards or are we going to famine on their cards? So we've got that coming up. We're going to talk Prism Football, which is releasing next week. Already taking the hobby by storm. We've already got guys with socks and sandals waiting at Walmart, Target, trying to get those blasters. Trying to get them. I mean, it's just crazy. It's already going nuts. So we're going to talk about those cards along with the Burrow injury. But first news of business we've got is Black Friday here at MojoBreak.com. We've already got some Black Friday breaks that are listed. Most of them are sold out already. But we're going to be doing some doorbuster ship sealed boxes that will pop up on Friday. Below our cost. They're going to go up there. They're going to ship sealed so that you guys can take advantage of those deals on stock that we have, you know, maybe a lot of that we, hey, we're just willing to take a little bit in, give you guys a good deal. So be on the lookout for that. We should have at least one for the major sports, each one, if not more. So keep checking back on Friday to save big. So there'll be a lot of stuff going down for Friday. Today, new releases. We've got Topps Black Chrome MLB that we busted. Looks pretty dang nice. We've got 1-1 basketball breaking later. I think there's just a few spots left in that. And Impeccable Football. We've got First Off the Line as well as the regular version. So lots of stuff to get into. It's exciting time in our hobby as we get into the holiday season. Dan, what's going down?
Chilling. That was a lot going on there. You're kind of tripping over yourself.
And I was.
But I do like the fact that you were able to prolong it just enough to get the great C-Rad.
What's up, dude?
It was perfect. Perfectly timed.
I thought you guys were already going.
Oh, we did.
Oh, we were.
We're live.
Yeah, we're live.
So we did a little introduction. We talked a little Black Friday. Max is talking about turducken recipes in the chat. So, C-Rad, what are you most thankful for in this hobby right now, man?
Most thankful for?
Put him on the spot right when he walks in.
One versus one, one on one.
I most thankful for? I'm most thankful for everybody that purchases with Mojo Break, man. All of our customers.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They let me live the dream of opening packs, bro.
Everybody.
I agree.
You know, allowing me to open up just with these fire fingers, just like hits just coming out like that, just like that all
Zangers.
The time. Yeah, I mean, what, today I pulled a Burrow, right? Pulled a couple up.
Burrow
is a redemption in Impeccable. First time he's been a redemption all year,
this year
that I can recall. But pulled a crazy Justin Herbert out of the big Monday mixer. Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
It was a 101 out of XR. Was it XR?
Yeah, Swatch, Jumbo
XR,
Swatch.
But it was like off the helmet. It was like a helmet bolt.
Off the helmet on
yeah,
the XR.
It's like the helmet decal.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy looking.
I don't remember ever seeing a helmet decal
in
XR.
I didn't know they had the helmet relics in it. But
that's crazy. I gotta check it out.
And, we're definitely thankful for everybody that allows us to do this on a daily and go through all these new products for you guys and booming it up. But I do want to mention, if you haven't already joined, join our Fans of Mojo Break on Facebook, which is going to start being more active. We're going to start putting stuff on there. You can buy and sell or try to trade and stuff like that. So if you're on Facebook, I know it's, you know, that's kind of the old game. You know, I know Instagram, TikTok, that's all the new game. If you're on Facebook, add us at our group, which is Fans of Mojo Break, and we'll try to approve you as fast as we can.
Did you get a new ride?
Ones.
Did you get a new ride?
A new ride?
Phone?
New phone?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the new one?
Blue.
Nice. Sky blue.
That's a big Apple logo on the back. Could they make it any bigger?
Oh, let me see it. Let me see if it has a bigger logo.
Look at it.
Well, it's the same as regular.
Same
thing.
No, it looks pretty big.
DP in the chat says he thought for sure Dan was going to wear a turkey costume today. I mean, he thought about it, but couldn't get
it. I don't have
time.
Anything that's turkey-themed or Thanksgiving-themed.
Yeah.
I guess I could have just sat here and ate my lunch during the hype.
You know, I think we talk about this. We've probably had 3 or 4 Thanksgiving hype episodes, and I know it's like most of you guys haven't listened back then, but what are you looking forward to food-wise
stuffing
on Thanksgiving?
That's all.
What is the food you're looking forward to tomorrow? I mean social distancing and being safe as well. But what kind of food?
It's funny. Could I answer? Since we've done it so many times, could I just answer for you?
Probably.
I could. And then we're gonna get into the same argument every single time about how what you like is like nothing special when it comes to Thanksgiving, like stovetop.
Yeah.
Stovetop.
Yeah.
That's so like, I mean, the whole point is like to have scratch just. Real stuffing, like with the gizzards the spleen. I don't know. The turkeys have spleens,
something like that.
But
stomach lining.
I mean, you cut all that up and you put that, and then you stuff it into the bird. Mm-mm. Now that's stuffing. Doug likes run of the mill box stovetop.
Yeah, you can't.
Me
beat
too.
It. It's it. Yeah,
you
see,
too.
Yeah, look, that's 2 out of 3 right
man,
there.
Man, what's
2 out of 3?
It's Thanksgiving. Celebrate.
It's just better, man.
think out of the box. No pun intended there.
And, you know, maybe hopefully I'll have some green bean casserole, which I hated as a kid, but I absolutely look forward to it year in and year out. And, yes, pies. Not on the keto diet, but you know what? I'm going to have some pie tomorrow as well. And we only have 2 football games now instead of 3. Darn COVID.
Why don't we talk about pies? What kind of pie?
I think it's got to be pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie with some whipped cream.
Pumpkin pie is pretty dope.
Apple pie is pretty good.
Sweet potato pie is not bad.
Sweet potato pie.
Cheesecake.
My favorite pie, not that anybody cares or asked, banana cream pie, but not. It's not a very Thanksgiving, no. But it is delicious.
I like lemon meringue pie too, but that's not another nonsense.
I mean, if you put a lemon meringue pie in front of me, I'm not gonna turn it away.
I love them. I don't know how they make the meringue, but it's pretty awesome.
It's magic.
Nah, in a bird, in a landslide. It's just too soggy, man.
No,
I don't
dude,
know what
you
it
gotta
is.
Have it in the bird.
It's too soggy. It's just gotta be nice and crisp on the stove.
I actually don't mind either word, but I do like it on the just getting my bird and the stuffy on the side.
Okay,
too.
How about this gravy? Where do you stand on gravy?
I'm indifferent.
What do you put it on?
Like, what do you like? So, if there's gravy,
I put it on everything.
Yeah, there you go.
That's where I disagree.
You got a gravy on everything.
Only on the mashed potatoes for me. That's it.
Gravy on the turkey. Gravy on the stuffing. No. Gravy on. Even it gets a little gravy on the cranberry. If it gets on there, it's okay.
Bro, gravy
it's okay.
In your beer. Gravy in your mixed drink. Gravy on your cards.
Yep.
No. Just on the mashed potatoes, and that's it for me. I like to taste my turkey, especially if it's, you know, it's a good turkey. But let's get into sports cards. We've got Prizm Football releasing. Some of it's releasing on Monday. Some of it's already out in the retail. Like I said, some of you, you know, you see those guys with the socks and the sandals and the shorts waiting to Walmart. You know, they may be eating their lunch, their dinner, and their breakfast while they're waiting.
Oh, retail's
for guys.
Out. I didn't know that.
Retail is out already in certain parts of the world. I don't think it's out around here, but it is. I've seen some East Coast and some Midwest guys claiming that they found some blasters and they're trying to charge car prices for blasters. But, you know, it's out there. But we've got No Huddle releasing on Monday. Monday, No Huddle comes out. We've
Cyber
got
Monday,
breaks.
Huh?
Yep. Cyber Monday, I guess.
Is that going down? 100%.
Yeah. Yep. As of today, it's going down. And Rookies and Stars is coming out there as well. But I wanted to kind of divulge into some of these cards. There's already some of the base cards and parallels already on eBay from the people that have probably gotten the retail. So you can already see with bids, you've got an orange disco, which I believe is out of the No Huddle. So somebody must have gotten that early. Tua Orange Disco, I don't know what it's numbered to, but already going for $400 with 5 hours left. You got a red, white, and blue refractor of Mr. Herbert that's $499.
Dude, No Huddle, what the heck? Somebody really did get early already in the opening.
Somebody must have, yeah. Somebody must have. My question to you guys here and in the chat is let's make predictions. And let's not go with the colors here. Let's go with base cards. Let's go for the 3 quarterbacks. What do you think the base rookie cards are going to sell for Tua, Herbert, and Burrow?
Raw?
Raw. Just somebody opens it up, throws it on eBay.
Just a regular base.
Yep. Right. Regular base. No silver, no blue, no red, no nothing. Just regular base cards.
Herbert, I'm going to go for, I'm going to say $150 for a Herbert raw.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm going to say Tua will be $100 and Burrow will be $100.
Okay.
And lock it in. And we will be doing a fair amount of Prizm First Off the Line It probably may not be full cases because it's so expensive, but we definitely will be doing something.
We were possibly talking about doing one hobby box, one first off the line box, random. So it's kind of affordable. I don't know. Maybe four, two of each, maybe one of each. I don't know. We're going to definitely be doing some for that.
Keep it funky.
Porter in the chat says Tua $80, Herbert $100, and Burrow $65. I mean, what worries me is there's gonna be more this year than every year. We say this every year.
Yeah, but you said out of the gate.
Out of the gate, yeah, that's
out
true.
Of the gate.
Yeah.
Out of the gate.
I mean, those are not where it prices. Settles. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I did mine. What do you guys think? I made it easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Herbert would be the top guy selling out the gate. Tua second. The question mark right now is I'm kind of iffy on where I think Burrow is going to be at, just with his injury and all that stuff, obviously. But yeah, I think Burrow should land somewhere closer to Tua than Herbert. Herbert's definitely going to be the most expensive guy.
I think Burrow will, I mean, for the rest of the year, I actually think Burrow prices are going to be undervalued, and they're going to be about the same price, if not a little bit lower than Tua.
Yeah.
Depending on how Tua performs the next month or so.
Now, if you like Burrow, sorry, just cut you off.
No,
now, if you like Burrow, it is the time to kind of like
it is.
To kind of go out there.
I don't know about right now, but maybe in a month, because he's not going to be playing. We're going to have a month removed from like his last game. Mm-hmm. So people tend to forget. It's like what's in front of my face right now, especially if Tua is performing and they're winning and they're going to go to the playoffs. I think that's going to hurt Burrow's prices. I think Burrow's prices will go down. If the other two quarterbacks' prices go up, I think Burrow's goes down.
The breaking news, TKO in the chat. The first Herbert sold yesterday for $325 base off center.
Ooh,
$325
OC. So you
off
OC?
Center, off center. So I mean that's crazy. I don't. Well, obviously we don't expect
that's out,
those.
That's out the gate price.
That's out the gate price.
And it could have been
a little shilly.
You never know. Yeah.
Shield.
You never know.
A little shilly shill
for a base raw.
That's crazy.
OC.
Silvers. Silvers are a funky little thing here.
So yeah, what do you? What's the percentage of base compared to silvers? Is it 10 times? Is it 15 times? Is it 5 times? What do you think the base compared to the silvers?
Because I was looking in the chat that Herbert silver,
times.
maybe 850 raw. I think it's going to be a lot higher than that, or it should be. You got to remember, silvers are one silver.
A box.
Per box.
Two now.
Two. Remember, two.
Oh, they busting it. Oh, oh, God.
unless blowout was wrong.
Remember, two, not one, two.
But
so, yeah, now actually, I don't know what it's worth.
Yeah.
I was basing it off of one.
Yeah, that cuts.
Maybe it is $850. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we don't know how big the checklist is. So if they increase the checklist, that means the vets are going
to
have more silvers, too.
We can't. We can't do this anymore. We got to put our foot down.
Box break. 2 silver prisms, 9 numbered prisms, 24 rookies, 4 inserts, 2 autos. You got to think what? So doing some math here real quick on the fly. If there's 24 rookies in a box, let's just say they use a checklist of 100 rookies. Is 100 rookies to be safe? Because they're going to throw in the Jordan Brooks and the Jake Luton.
I would say 80 rookies. I mean, 100 rookies is a lot.
Okay, anywhere from between 80 and 100. So if you get... So you should get one every 4 boxes. You should get one of the guys, assuming they fall at the same rate. So that means in a case break, you're going to get 3 regular rookies-ish, 3 to 4.
But I remember, like, wouldn't you get, like, 1 rookie per box? Like, wouldn't you get,
it's 2
like,
at the end. So it's 12 packs. It's 12 packs, right? Yeah, 12 packs, and it's 2, 24 rookies. So it's 2 pack. Same format they've always had there. So it's like, you know, you open it up. And
so
you
you're definitely not going to be guaranteed a Herbert in every box.
Not in every box, no. Well, there's 24, right? So, yeah, like, depending on what the checklist comes out
so
as.
So maybe one every 4, one every 5?
Yeah, so I think you should get around 2 to 3 rookies per case
now
of each guy.
What I was going to complain about, and that's what I do. I like complaining. we went from every rookie being a silver. Not that long ago, 2017 to 2018, there being 1 silver per box. They rolled the same way with 2019.
Yep.
Now we switched it up again, and now it's 2 silvers. We need consistency? We need consistency. We need to stop. We need to chill out. Because it's super confusing. Like, the Patrick Mahomes goes for how much?
It's I think it's around five.
$5,000. Yeah. Not 500, $5,000. Now, every rookie that you get out of that box is going to be a silver.
Yes.
You go to Baker Mayfield's year, 2018, you get a rookie silver of Baker Mayfield. You know how hard it was to pull that silver? Because you only got 12 in a case.
Right.
And what, a 200, maybe 250
checklist? Yes.
Subject checklist. That's really, really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get, but it doesn't go for the premium that it should. I think silvers in 18 and 19 and now even in 2020 are supremely undervalued.
Well, here's the thing. I think what I kind of like, and I know I'm going against consistency here, but I do like the fact that they're doing two because I think the market can handle two. I think there maybe isn't enough Kyler out there. To based on the demand. So if you get more in the market,
that's good. If you have a Kyler though, if you have a Kyler silver, you don't want more in the market.
Well, but you do actually, it doesn't go up because there's not people bidding on them because there's not enough to bid on them. You see what I'm saying? So if there's a little bit more in the market, then it may cause the card to go up even though there's more.
My issue is the consistency. My thing is that
These companies been consistent with anything?
No, like now there's double the amount of silvers as opposed to 18 and 19. But the prices for 18, 19 don't reflect that.
Right.
That's my issue. Like, what would this card be
if there's one silver box?
If there was one silver box,
$50,000,
$5,000, it probably would be worth the same amount.
Yeah,
and that's not right.
I don't think people, the average person that's investing in this, even knows that.
That is what I'm trying to say with the consistency. I'm like, you can't switch it up every year. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm on my soapbox here.
No, I get you on the consistency, but I think they looked at the numbers and they were like, okay, if we put two, there's a little bit more in the market, which creates more of a
But we're already making
a demand.
We're already making a first off the line version. We're making a no huddle version. We have a retail version. We have enough versions. There's enough of it out there.
I wonder how many first off the silvers are in first off the line. I guess
are they in there?
I assume so. 2020 first off the line. Does anybody know that offhand?
Unless they change the format like they did with basketball, right?
First off the line, football, hobby.
I bet you there's a silver.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about it not being fair. I said that it's just not consistent. And
Yeah.
Not being fair? What?
You're just not fair, Dan.
It's not. I feel like I'm T.O. That's my quarterback. It's not fair.
Let's see. I'm trying to find a listing. Nobody has it up currently.
It looks like it's the same box shape as a hobby, so it must be the same format.
New ultra rare snakeskin prism,
which I think got
two autographs per box.
I bet you get two silvers a box in first off the line.
It's probably the same. Yeah, it's 12 cards per pack. 12. So that just increases the amount of silvers.
The other thing that got weird and wacky, and we want to talk about consistency with prism, is that they changed the configuration for first off the line, as opposed to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they keep flip flopping back.
Last year, it was a one pack.
And the year before that was a regular hobby.
It was a regular hobby box. Yeah. This year it's a regular hobby box.
Same thing with basketball. They went with the regular size box, and then last year it was a small box.
Yeah.
So
what is it about Prism where consistency goes out the window?
Just whatever. It's probably the resources that they need to make the product, whether it be more silvers, whether it be more boxes. Who knows? But I did want to point out, you know, obviously not breaking news here, but, you know, big injury this weekend to Joe Burrow. Not going to probably play until, like, what, week three or week four of next year. How do you think this affects? Are you, as a hobbyist, are you staying away from Burrow now? Or are you like, well, this is the time to buy? I mean, the guy was on track to have the greatest yardage season for any rookie since Andrew Luck. Looked great out there. Didn't have a great team around him. There's two trains of thought. I think, for me, the Bengals needed to get better anyway. So he wasn't going to go to the playoffs this year. He doesn't have many weapons. His offensive line obviously is bad because of the injury that happened. Get a low pick, get a good offensive line, and maybe make some splash at free agency, and then he's got a better team around him. But that doesn't play into the card world. The card world is based on hype, and you're not going to see this guy for another year. So what do you think? What are you guys thinking with Burrow? What's your thoughts?
This is what I think goes down. This is what goes down right now. Let me pull back the curtain and let you know. So I think they'll go down about 20% from what they were going at the peak when he was playing. He's playing well. They'll go down about 20%, and then they're going to stabilize there. You're not going to see the market, the bottom, like, drop out of Burrow, because people are still going to speculate. He's still the franchise quarterback. He's going to come back. He's going to be fine. He may not be as mobile as he was.
It's a pretty serious injury.
But he is going to be fine. He's going to be okay. But I see about a 20% decrease in his prices. Then they'll, like I said, then they'll basically hover around there. It's about the two other guys right now. It's about Tua and it's about Herbert. They just got to perform. The thing that sucks about Herbert is that it seems like week in and week out, I talk about how good he looks, but he's not getting wins. And that isn't really affecting his card prices. But if they were in the playoff hunt, his prices would be triple they are right now.
Yeah. They'd be like petty prices.
But, I mean, they're not. That team's bad.
I could see, you know, obviously buying a Prism for whatever, $100, $200, whatever, or less than that, and getting graded and hold on to it. But what does this do to the high end? What does this do to his RPAs? What does this do to his Shield 101? Are you going to be like, okay, cool, I want to buy a Shield 101 for $150,000? That's got to be like a very kind of hanging by a thread investment,
okay,
right?
Well, let's say, hypothetically, let's say that the Bengals win another two games, right?
Yeah.
And he finishes the season, he doesn't get hurt. They go...
You mean if he didn't get hurt.
If he didn't get hurt. So let's say they go 4-12. I don't know how many games they've won. Let's say they go 4-12. They have a... He has a good season. He puts up a lot of yards, but a lot of interceptions, not a ton of touchdowns, but he has an okay. He basically finishes out how he was projected to finish out. What do you think his RPAs go for? They go for about 3,500 for a number to 99.
What do you think?
I think we're looking at this. If he finished out the season the same, like
the way,
without
the
getting
way,
injured,
like on the projection that
I
he
feel
was,
like he would have been on the about the same. I would look at it like a Baker May situation. Remember back then you were talking about how you couldn't understand how his prices were so high based on what he had done, like his rookie campaign. You remember that? So I think he would have still been the highest selling quarterback,
but
non-injury.
Baker, but Baker was like
what, 8-8 or
Baker
7-9?
He went 7-9-1. His team was winning. I think they almost made the playoffs. They were like a game or two out of the playoffs. Joe Burrow and the Bengals were not going to be there. I think there was speculation that because Baker finished his rookie season so well that they were turning the corner and they were going to be a playoff team. And look at them now. They're a playoff team now.
I think maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they only had 6 wins there his rookie season.
I think they went 6-9-1,
but yeah,
six,
like
eight, one, maybe?
My point mainly was that
they had a tie.
My point mainly was that Baker May was,
but
still,
he may have won like 4 of his last games. I think he won like 4 of his last games.
Yeah, and he had the touchdown record for rookies.
No, statistically, he had a great rookie season, but just his did like you know like what you were saying all year that year, Dan, was that you couldn't understand how his prices could be so high without the team success.
But Baker's. His prices really started going up after the season was over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the people speculating that, like, because he finished so strong and that they had won, like, a handful of games going into the next season, everybody was buying and paying ridiculous prices for Baker.
I think, hypothetically speaking, if Burrow never got injured, I feel like he would be in a similar situation. Like, people would be high on him all
the time. He would have to win... You know, 4 games going in, like the last 4 games, he would have to win. I don't see that happening with his team.
Yeah.
Do you think that he would have been higher than 3,500?
Like, yes.
Yeah. If he's still playing.
Yep. And the thing is about like they have a losing record. Obviously, the Bengals, they're not good. Their offensive line's in shambles. But they were Burrow kept them in a lot of games just off the strength of how good he was. So you could look at those losses in different ways. You could take that as okay, they lost, you know, because they're not a great team, or you could look at it like he almost won those games for them single-handedly, a lot of those very close, you know, close losses. So I think if we're hypothetically speaking, he was not, he didn't get injured, he would be the top selling quarterback still by the time NT releases, I feel like, RPA wise.
Well, if history repeats itself too, you got to look at a couple things. If you look at the 17 draft, right, you've got Trubisky, which nobody seems to want, and who knows if he's going to start another game. You have Watson, which who knows, right? Who knows if Watson's going to come around and be a guy that's going to win? Maybe necessarily not his fault. Maybe the Texans organization is just terrible. And then you obviously have Mahomes, which was a home run. You go to 18, Darnold. Anybody want Darnold? Might not be on the Jets next year. Does anybody want we're just talking Baker Mayfield. His prices have gone down.
I think you buy Baker right now.
Yeah, Baker's on the
Baker
back,
might be
on
a buy.
The on the come
I,
up
there, the Browns are probably going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point I'm trying to get Lamar, to is when you Lamar is on the decline. His prices are still good.
They're definitely going down.
They're definitely going down. So if you compare it, there's one quarterback that comes out of all of those, right? So Mahomes out of 17. Now it's Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen coming at 18. The story's not completely shut on Baker. The story's not shut on Lamar. There's still time. But Trubisky, if people invested big money in Trubisky, thought mm-hmm. he was going to be good. He went to the Bears, which is a big team, a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that Tua, Herbert, and Burrow are going to be the top five is impossible, right?
No,
it's not going to happen. So it's like – that's the problem I have with Burrow. I love Burrow. He's probably my favorite out of the three, but the fact that he plays for the Bengals hurts me. Like, it's like, at least if you got a quarterback like Dak and he's having a bad game, you still have Cowboy fans that want to buy the cards, right? There's not, I mean, sorry, Bengal fans. There's not a lot of Bengal fans out there.
You picked Burrow a couple weeks ago, right?
What?
In our little debate. I did.
You know, this industry is weird and wacky, man. Like, things change on a week to week basis. All right, wait, are you Herbert? You Herbert now?
I'm still team Tua,
baby.
I can't predict an injury. I didn't say he was going to get benched or anything, or he was going to.
Yeah, that was tough.
But you are correct when it comes. Like, you look at 19 as well. Like, Kyler is pulling away from the pack.
Yeah, or Daniel Jones. Haskins. I mean, he's already
Dwayne Haskins.
Who knows?
He is the backup to the backup now.
Gardner Minshew is, and which wasn't a big name at the gate, but. You know, so it's like, I don't know. Like, you look at those, the Chargers don't really have a huge fan base. They have a lot of fans.
Herbert is, in every game I watch him play, he is legit. He is absolutely legit. And he does have some pretty good weapons around him offensively. It's the defense with injuries. That's where their issue is. And that's why they've been in a lot of games. They could be in the running for the West.
Well, here's also
they lost a lot of really close games, but he does have Keenan Allen, who you can make an argument is a top five running or top five receiver in the league. He always is putting up stats. Mike Williams, who has all the talent and the size to be one of the best receivers in the league, but is a little inconsistent. But he has Hunter Henry. Their running backs are kind of banged up, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean,
Herbert is legit.
But see, I like Herbert too. I think if you gave me the choice to buy between Tua and Herbert, I think I'm buying Herbert right now. But my issue with Herbert is Philip Rivers never sold. Philip Rivers had a good career. Philip Rivers is still having a decent career. Did he win a Super Bowl? No. But every year he put up stats. Nobody cared. Eli Manning was probably outselling him. Ben Roethlisberger probably outselling him. Philip Rivers had a good career, so that makes me worried about a Charger fan base to buy a top five quarterback. Like, he literally has to be the best in the league for me to see 10 years from now. Tua, I think the Dolphins have that fan base. The Dolphins, you know, they have that perfect season. I think there's a lot of buzz on Miami to be good. It seems like team-wise, Tua's the one you want to invest in, but talent-wise, Herbert's the one you want to invest in as far as going forward for this year.
I think with Rivers, though, everybody's seen the long body of work, and I think it was just always the mentality that, well, Rivers is going to blow it again. He isn't going to get the job done. He's either going to, you know, barely miss the playoffs or make the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round, or he's going to throw a crucial interception to lose the game. Right now, you don't know what Herbert is capable of doing.
Yeah. Right. It only takes one guy to change the franchise.
After 5 to 8 years of watching Phillip Rivers, you knew what you were going to get with Phillip Rivers.
Oh, and Porter brings up a good point. Rivers came into the league when cards weren't really selling, and Herbert is in a red-hot market. So, yes, it is a little bit different comparing those two time periods. We were talking kind of a little bit about Lamar Jackson. Chris brings up a good point in the chat. Can you be an MVP and then be a bust?
Maybe in the card market. I don't think in life. In life. I think if you win an MVP, you're good. I mean, Lamar Jackson is good for at least 5 years. And I think we were talking about this before. Like, when his rookie contract is up, because he is won an MVP, the Ravens have to give him a blank check, right? Even though you would think they learned their lesson with Joe Flacco.
Well, I made my bold prediction on the Blitz, where I said that Lamar Jackson will not be the Ravens quarterback
in
3 years.
And I think I said it on that show as well. I think you're high.
Well, look at the last game he just had.
I mean, you literally are saying that, like,
I'm already one notch on to
last year he won the MVP, and then 2 years later, they're like, get out of here.
Well, if it's a matter of paying him $40 million to stay.
There's MVPs. They're dime a dozen.
I'm not saying he's not going to be a great quarterback in 3 years. I'm just saying he's not going to be a Raven. That's what I'm saying. Mm. So, I think the Ravens
sign him to an extension right away. I don't know if he'll be a Raven his whole career, but he definitely will go longer than his rookie contract.
And Max brings up the point, is Lamar the new Kaepernick? There is some similarities here when the defenses seem to be able to figure him out and he's not able to adjust.
Did Kaepernick win an MVP?
No, but no. I mean,
win a Super Bowl?
Nobody went to one. Lamar didn't go to one. But once they would have won one
if Alex Smith was in the game. But
I mean, once they figured out Cap and they were able to put a spy on him, it seemed like he wasn't accurate enough to win the games with his arm.
I think Lamar Jackson has a more accurate arm than Kaepernick. He has a little bit more touch. Kaepernick was like, I am going to throw the ball. It's a screen pass, and I could just float it to you, but I'm going to throw
170 miles an hour,
98 mile an hour fastball at your head.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to be like, why did it bounce up and get intercepted for a touchdown? Why did this happen?
Right. Well, this is beginning to feel, I know we make comparisons, on to the next topic here. I know we make comparisons that, you know, the junk wax, are we getting a bubble? Well, you know what, Mick, definitely feels like a bubble? All of these grading companies that are coming in. I mean, this isn't a new grading company, but it's a company that's revised their slab. They're pimping it out as another option. And we've seen this in the Griffey era. There was about 10 to 20 grading companies, and only two lasted until now. And now there's more popping back up. Mm-hmm. So CSG, Certified Sports Card Guarantee, is in the game. They are really heavily, you've probably seen it on your Twitter, your Facebook, and maybe even some YouTube ads. They're really trying to attack this market, this grading market. Honestly, I think their slabs are ugly. I will not be using CSG.
Bro, I was about to sue. I thought that said CGS. I was about to call my lawyer right now, like, bro.
You're all nope.
Hold on. So they sent out, this was on Twitter. The CSG holder is thin, compact, yet extremely durable. The modern label design accommodates detailed card descriptions and subgrades. And at 3.15 by 5.3 inches, a CSG certified sports card fits in the palm of your hand. All right, so I'm looking.
Why is that a selling point? Well, why is it being small a good thing? Well, like, this is small enough to where you can lose it.
I'm not a genius, and I did not pull out a ruler in this situation. But I'm looking at this slab, assuming the Luka card is a regular size and not a mini. And I have a PSA slab here, which looks like it's smaller, and it does not fit. And I could have bigger hands. I mean, but, you know, maybe if I was Joel Embiid, it would fit in the palm of my hand.
Let me get that for a ride. I got tiny hands.
It does not
look
fit
at that.
In the palm
of
my
hand. It's not sleek. I can't run around with it, do activities. I don't know why it needs to be small. I mean, I don't want it too big.
You don't want the book one
where, like, you gotta have a backpack for it, but, like,
But to me, without having it next to this one, to me, it actually looks like it's taller, no?
Fits perfectly in your fanny pack.
It looks taller.
Absolutely looks taller.
Taller than...
It's, no, man, it's about the same size.
It almost looks like they're like, cool, PSA's cool and all. They don't have subgrades. So we're going to make the holders look like PSAs, and we're going to do subgrades. Boom.
That was the whole thinking. They wanted to combine PSA and BGS.
I don't want to hate, but... Why it's the same three letters as a competitor. There's SGC. That when you literally pulled that up, I actually thought that was like a new slab for that company.
Yeah. Mm.
And they got rid of the what do we call it? The black tuxedo.
Which, garbage. Sorry. Wait, man, you're an SGC fan? Dude, I'm sorry. It's garbage in my opinion. That is my opinion.
I love how man, this means a lot to you this time.
No, I like BGS. No, I mean, I like BGS. I like PSA better, but I like BGS, and I will
dude,
not go with any
a
other company.
$6,000 card. You were just like
tapping.
Know,
just
cracked like,
it. Just cracked it.
You're all hold up. Let me see.
Yeah, let's see how durable it is. Throw it against the wall. No, but
what why do you need like so you look at this, and again, you know how I feel about PSA, but I'm not going to hate. Why do I look at this and go, you know what? You know what really drives me crazy about this? It needs to be sleeker and smaller. Why?
Because you people have limited space in their house, and they don't have big old houses like you where you can put five slabs in a closet.
My house is as big as a closet.
Yeah, you have to put the slabs, and you have a lot more room for activities when you have PSA because it's sleek.
A lot more room for activities.
But I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the new. Who are these people? With CGC? Is this another one?
Oh, that's a different one.
This is another one.
CGC. Oh my god.
Did they grade? What are they grading?
Bruh, I need
go back, to, go back. Go back to that. I know this is completely. Like, what are they grading?
Comics.
Oh, I thought it was a gun.
Oh, CGC. Yes, comics. Okay, so they're the main comic book grader. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
CGCs. No.
Who's that guy?
No, that's the same. I'm trying to find their website to see what their pricing is.
Think SGC, but just
see.
Scramble.
I put it in the search, right? But it's not coming up. CGC, CCG. There's a new grading company in town. CSG.
They don't even have a website.
I know. So I don't know. I was trying to find out maybe like their turnaround time's better. I mean, that's what it breaks down to. That's why people don't like PSA and BGS is they don't want to wait, but. I don't like the look of any other slab, and I can tell you, being in this hobby for 10 years, if you get it graded by one of those companies and then they're gone in 5 years, you're going to have to crack it out and wind up sending it to PSA or BGS anyway. Just wait and get it slabbed by
It's safe to say. PSA, BGS, here to stay. Industry standard.
Yeah. I mean, but BGS has that controversy. They don't have as much patented technology to prevent counterfeiting as PSA
does. They ain't got a hologram sticker.
What?
They ain't got a hologram sticker.
Right. You can't just print that out on your printer. Plus everything else with the code and the...
So are they revamping their whole process right now?
They gave a really...
You're telling me that you cannot copy that QR code?
I don't know. Probably could.
Pretty sure you can.
I'm just saying PSA has been ahead of the game as far as trying to... stop the counterfeiting from going on. Where BGS,
relax.
They got that patent thing going on, and that's it. So, and they kind of made a statement going like, "We're looking into this." You know, like they didn't say like what they're doing. I mean,
I think where there's a will, there's a way. If somebody really wanted to counterfeit a PSA slab, they could.
It's a lot harder.
How do you know? Are you an engineer of slabs? Do you know what the inner workings of this? How do you know
it's
that?
It's got a hologram on there. It's hard to duplicate, dude.
It's got a hologram.
All I know.
Nobody has ever counterfeited a hologram ever.
Never.
In the history.
It's impossible. All I'm saying is that there hasn't been a case of a counterfeit. Those trim cards, yes.
There hasn't been.
Hasn't been a counterfeit PSA in the new slab holder yet.
Bold.
The old slab holder, yes, but they've made improvements to combat that.
What's the improvement?
Well, for one.
Say it. What's the improvement? It's a hologram. There we go.
Plus, there's also that in the corner.
You don't even know if that's on another one. I can tell you that. No, that's on even the older ones.
It's on every one.
It's on the older ones.
So, and it's got the dots on the bottom right there as well. And you can actually go on PSA site and track this. You can track, and if you see that one sold already, then you know it would be counterfeit. if it sold and you have it in your hand and it didn't sell. Mm. So somebody faked the number. So
but so it could happen.
No. It's not. It's bulletproof. It can't happen.
Kid's bulletproof. Is it?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know why these companies are coming in. I would be very the message I'm trying to send here is that I would be very weary about using CSG or SGC or BBC. I'd be talk about the news channel. I mean, I start grading. any of them that aren't PSA or PGS, I would
holiday drink.
Oh, I've been hit.
Are we done?
I've been hit the eggnog. Sorry, guys.
We done?
No, I'm any of the three letters that aren't PSA or BGS. I would stick to those if you're making an investment.
Let's go to the next topic. Let's go to the next one. What do we got?
All right.
We're done with that.
We're going to talk Immaculate.
Logo. Immaculate. Logo Mans. There we go. No, and those are fun.
I might need a break after that one. So we broke a lot of Immaculate last week. We broke a couple Logo Mans, but I wanted to just kind of review the product in general. Being when it came out, which actually was great timing this year that it came out about a month before the NBA, because usually it comes out 6 months before the NBA starts. So obviously got a pretty high price tag at to a $12,000 a case retail. What are your guys' thoughts on long term, and how did you guys think it broke? And I'll start with C-Rad, since he did the most of them.
As always, beautiful acetates, interesting memorabilia, especially the jumbo sneak peek pieces are always super fun to hit. I mean, you know, the chase is like you get another shot at all these Logo Mans that you might have missed in NT, that a lot of us missed in NT, you know what I mean? So there are some very, very brutal cases at the price that they currently go for. But you know, that like we always talk about, that's you're chasing the big cards, there's going to be some duds in there, so it could be. For me, like, it's always fun to open up the the main thing that I've always liked out of Immaculate is the acetate jersey number RPAs. Mm-hmm. And the you know, they try to differentiate it this year or last year too with the sapphire. Before it was just you got the cardboard RPA, which is number to 99, but starting last year everything started being acetate, so I was like, how are they gonna, you know, switch it up and have the jersey numbers? And so the jersey numbers are now have that little, you know, sapphire foil to them, blue, and it's number to their jerseys, obviously.
I was gonna say, I kind of have a little bit, as an OG in the Immaculate game, I have a little bit of an issue with using the Immaculate acetate on everything, because I think, like,
yeah,
it should be limited special to the, at least in the RPA. I'm fine with the moments and, you know, the clutch shot or whatever they use it on.
Duels.
But the RPA base should be mats. The 25 should be mats. But the numbered, I know in the case of Zion, there's only gonna be one then. But, like, I don't know. I feel like if it's the acetate, it should be very, 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 very limited. But I get from a...
It made Immaculate unique compared to other high-end before.
Yeah, yep.
But you know what it does do, though, with the autographs with the acetate is that the pens, like, tend to bleed. And they, like, it depending on, like, the autograph stroke.
I've seen that. I've seen,
like,
that with
they
some
tend
guys,
to, they're just not as smooth. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to go BGS grading, there may be a fair amount that come back with a 9 on the auto and mm-hmm. not a 10 because of that. But the way I feel, I think they did a good job on it. It's always sharp to see, you know, the Logo Mans and stuff like that. The dual Logo Mans,
that's what I'm waiting to see.
The multi signed cards are always very nice. The only gripe that I have is that it's got to the price point where the only way that you can really digest it, and I know I'm kind of kicking ourselves here, it has to be digested in group breaks.
Yep.
And this is not the way it was 3-4 years ago. You can get a box of Immaculate for $500-$600.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at, you know, well over $2,000 a box. And at $2,000 a box, I almost have to tell people, like, don't do it. Like, we have it up for personals, but I it it could be brutal. I mean, you can get like a sticker auto of Jason Williams as your main hit. And that's a possibility. And that could, I mean,
that could be like a
$35 card right there.
Yeah, I've seen some boxes with Malcolm Brogdon at the end.
I mean, that's tough. And at the price points, the only way that it makes sense to get into it is by getting into a break.
I mean, granted, you know, when you mentioned your $500 to $600 price points, you also had $3,000 to $4,000 RPA, so it was relative. You're looking at the Zion RPAs, the ones that already have ended. The one troop RPA to 99, $11,300.
But you buy a case, and you need to hit.
You need to hit that. Yeah.
That's
the same thing.
But you need to hit a Zion RPA.
Yeah, it's like
to
the same thing as buying like the case at $3,500, and you needed to hit the top guy RPA to get for $3,000.
Yeah, it's just kind of inflation in a sense. I did look at our time. We got about 10 minutes, so we have a whole other segment to get into. But
Immaculate's great.
Move on.
On to the next one.
But yeah, I mean, I love from a breaking standpoint, my last statement on this is that I do love the variety of Immaculate. It's not like, and I know some people in the chat are saying I prefer Flawless. I prefer the variety of Immaculate. Now, the ROI may not be as safe as Flawless is, but the variety of cards, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, the
Flawless is very, very, like, you know what's coming out of a Flawless briefcase every single time for the most part.
Yep.
There is definitely some unique stuff in Immaculate that kind of separates itself from every other basketball release. You got the sneak peeks, which are amazing.
They're crazy.
Like, they are amazing, and I don't think they get enough press for how cool they actually are.
I still got to post that Shaq one that he has. Amazing.
What I could probably do away with is the Souls of the Game. I think that is an unnecessary relic.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. They got to use the whole shoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to.
But it's one of those where I'm like, how do you ship it? How do you display it? Like, it's over a 360 point card, and the relic, you probably don't need to make that thick of a card to put that relic in there. Which also confuses me. Like, you can make a regular 180 point card and embed that soul into the card.
Yeah.
I don't know why you got to make it a 360 point.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But we do have more basketball today too. If you guys want to try out the 1-1, we did one case this morning. It was pretty nice stuff.
$30 player break of Immaculate.
Yep, and we do have somebody mentioned in the chat, back to Immaculate. We got a player break at $30. That's probably the cheapest way to throw in and get a random player in a case.
The chat's always popping when we do those player breaks. So get in on it.
Yeah, because you know, we got 300 people in the break. You know, assuming everybody buys one, but you know.
Yeah.
But let's get into the spirit of Thanksgiving, feast or famine. Which players would you feast on, and which players would you go famine and not buy? So we're going to start with some of the names that just popped out of the NBA draft now that we know what team they're on. Cody teed that up pretty nicely there. That's pretty nice. You got Tatum with the turkey. You know, he's looking at it like he's real hungry. You got Obi kind of popping in there on the bottom. But let's talk about Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball. Edwards on the Timberwolves, and LaMelo now on the Hornets. Are you feasting? Are you famining on either of these two guys? And I'll start with Dan.
It's hard because we've only had a couple releases out so far and nothing in their NBA unis.
Right.
So I personally try to, and there's money to be made and there's good investments that you can make on those early products that are collegiate products. But I personally try to stay away from those until we start getting the Donruss and the hoops and stuff like that. When you start getting autos and, you know, pictures of the players in their new unis. So with the products that are out right now, I'm probably staying away from all the rookies. How about that?
Yeah,
I know that kills your segment, but
no, I mean, I obviously you guys know I'm a big fan of LaMelo Ball. The Hornets do scare me from a card perspective because there hasn't been a Hornet that's sold well in years. I mean, they've had lottery picks. I mean, they've had guys that it's like PJ Washington, you get the right card sells, you know, Miles Bridges, you know. So it's like, is this finally going to change? I mean, one thing with LaMelo is there is a Jordan tie now. So you got, you know, you're going to have some jersey cards that are going to have the Jordan logo on.
That's
it.
That's going to be so dope.
The Timberwolves, you know, some guys have sold, you know, with Cat and Wiggins over the years. I mean, Culver didn't really do a whole lot last year. But Edwards could be electric. I don't know if I'm necessarily – I'm probably feasting on LaMelo, and I'm waiting on – I mean, depending on the price, and I'm famining on Edwards out of these two for right now. But what do you guys – what do you think, C-Red?
For both guards, I like them equally, actually, to be honest. I'm excited to see them play with their respective teams, see how they do this year. I'm just overall very optimistic about this upcoming season. It's almost an extra excitement in a way because we didn't get the tournament. You see what I mean? And some of these kids are going to teams that are going to actually need them to perform. So it's an exciting time to be a basketball fan and collect. So I'm feasting on both these kids right here.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, I would probably go LaMelo over Edwards, because Edwards. I think LaMelo is going to get the ball more.
Absolutely. With he's going to put up numbers.
With Cat, I mean, that offense.
And D'Lo.
That offense is going to run through those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
unless he really, you know, takes charge and demands the ball more, but we'll see. And are you going to ask us who we can pick between these guys?
I know this one's tough because we got a local kid now. And the next one, we've got Obi Toppin and we have Wiseman. So, you know, Wiseman's going in a good situation where he's going to get some minutes. I do like Toppin for the Knicks, though. The Knicks fans seem like they were trying to make Kristaps the next coming, and you could see Kristaps' prices. So if Obi comes out and shows any sort of life, and the situation is he went to a smaller school, kind of almost like a Ja Morant-type situation where he's coming in and he's going to get some playing time. I really like Obi Toppin going forward. Wiseman's a big guy, so that worries me. But if I'm feasting or famining on these two, I'm going Toppin. I like his auto, too. I like the way his auto looks on cards. So
he has a nice auto.
The Knicks and Spike Lee, they've been craving for somebody to root for over these last couple years. So I think I'm going Toppin.
There's no universe where I'll go Toppin over Wiseman.
Yeah, I'm
going. Well, PC, I'm buying Wiseman, but I might buy more Toppins than Wiseman.
I see. Yeah, I'm actually going to. I've said it a few times on the stream this past week, and I've been saying it for months. Whoever the Warriors draft, I'm going to collect that person this year. So, Wiseman, going in the personal collection, baby.
Yeah, just like I said, historically with the hobby, the big men don't tend to sell as
but
well.
But he's an athletic big.
He
man.
Is. So athletic, so is yeah. Dwight Howard though. So, I mean,
yeah, Dwight Howard. But there may have been a point where Dwight Howard's cards did sell.
Yeah,
really
they
well.
Probably did. And the rookie 04-05 with the Magic.
Coming off the LeBron, Melo, Wade year.
Yep. But the thing I like about Wiseman is that he is going to be a plug and play guy with the Warriors. He is going to be on the court. I don't know how much he's going to score.
He's big as hell,
But he is absolutely going to be running with those guys. Mm-hmm. So
it's gonna be fun, man.
It's gonna be good to see, and I could see a fair amount of alley-oops going to him.
Oh yeah, I could see
Draymond doing a little alley-oops to Wiseman. So that could actually translate in couple highlight dunks,
some swats.
Yeah, I mean, I think out of the gate, Wiseman is going to make the Warriors a better team.
I think he's going to make the biggest impact out of the rookies, whether it's going to be, you know, because he basically went into the best situation.
He should have a highlight every single night, bro.
Yeah.
Which makes his card values is like, as long as you're staying in people's minds, you're going to go.
The only issue is that if he's going to need to play defense. And there's no knock that, like, he can't play defense.
No.
But
the NBA is a different game.
Yeah.
You're going against different type of talent. Yeah. And if he is not playing defense, that's the one way that he can get pulled off the court. Because Kerr isn't going to handle, like...
I agree. No. But I'm actually not worried about his defense at all, actually. Yeah.
I think they're going to love having a true shot blocker. I mean, Bogut was great, but he just was kind of a little bit older when he got to the Warriors. He wasn't kind of past his prime in the shot blocking days, but this guy could be a crazy shot blocker.
You can't be a big man, and like what Dan was saying, you can't be a big man in this day and age of NBA and not play defense.
Right.
It's not going to work out for you long term.
All right, let's go to...
But we've seen the Warriors try to throw a big man in there. Was it Jordan Bell?
Not too big, but undersized, though.
They try to make him a big man, and he he couldn't do enough to stay on the court.
He just, I think Kerr is a smart coach, and he expects his players to know where they need to be, and I think that's what was the problem with Bell. Yes,
as well as athleticism and skills.
Yep, knowing where to be and where to who to guard. So let's go with some guys that just got some big contracts after their rookie contracts were up, and feast and famine on Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, that 17-18 rookie class. And actually, I think Bam was in that same rookie class. So Bam Adebayo, so who just, you know, just playing in the finals, a little mini Dwight Howard. So out of these three, I'll start with Dan. Are you feasting? Are you famining?
Oh, man, all those guys. But Tatum's legit. I'm buying Tatum. Mitchell is also, I think, undervalued in the hobby.
Yes, maybe one of the most underrated.
Undervalued, not underrated.
Yeah, underrated too, but
undervalued. But Tatum's legit. He's a top 10 player in the league. He just got paid, so I'm buying Tatum.
Well, and that's the kind of investment I was talking about earlier. He's on the Celtics. You know what I mean? It's the almost like the Yankees of baseball in a sense with all those titles that they have. It's like, you know, and that's what worries me with Donovan, and we've got some big Donovan cards. We have silvers of, I don't think I have a Bam on a bio, but I got silvers of Tatum and Mitchell. I've really been considering selling Mitchell just because it's like the Jazz, you know, since Karl Malone and Stockton, it really hasn't been anybody that's sold. Their games are on at 10. 10 on the East Coast, 7 our time, so they don't get a lot of eyeballs on their games, and that worries me from an investment standpoint. Obviously, when they go into the playoffs, then you're going to see them. You're going to see them play, and you're going to be like, man, this guy's good, but Tatum is always going to be on those primetime games, those ABC games, things like that, where he's going to get the eyeballs on him. I wanted to look at some of the prices recently of some silvers. So you got a PSA 10 Donovan Mitchell. It sold for $2,000. That was in August, so it might have changed since then. Jason Tatum at $4,500. Bam Adebayo at $1,500. And then we threw in some other guys like De'Aaron Fox at $900 and Brandon Ingram at $1,800. So obviously you pick Tatum. He is the highest selling. Is there any room for like a Bam Adebayo to increase that value, or do you think that's the peak?
Man, such a skillful player. Heat really found a gem with him. But in terms of hobby value, because of the type of player he is, he's not going to like electrify you offensively every single night. And that's kind of what you're looking for with like these like, you know, long-term investment. So I don't know. I feel like Bam's pretty close to the peak, if not already at the peak.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
everything you want as a basketball player for a starter on your team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you know, he was electric to watch during some of these, you know, stretch runs last year. So
last year, yep, over on the bubble. I mean, amazing.
And what about Brandon Ingram? I mean, he's the guy that's actually the only guy on this that's not on the team that he's on his rookie card. He's on the Pelicans now, not the Lakers.
He just got paid.
He got paid. He's playing with Zion. To me, he plays a lot of hero ball, which I don't like. He, you know, tries to be Kevin Durant, but he can't quite shoot as well as Kevin Durant, where he's just going to not look. He's just going to take the ball down the court and do everything himself. That worries me. Also, his frame is real skinnier than Kevin Durant, but you know, he is very skilled, and he can play all the roles he needs to be, whether it be shot blocker, whether it be in the post, whether it be shooting a three. So he's very skilled at his size. I think if I'm investing, I'm still going Tatum and then maybe second Mitchell out of all of these guys. So I'm feasting on Tatum and Mitchell.
The Mitchell kind of, the reason why I don't go Mitchell is it scares me that like the stats that he has put up, and that team is pretty good, and his cards still don't sell for as much as other guys who don't put up the stats that he does.
Right.
Like, what does he have to do? I fear that if he wins a championship, it's still not enough.
Right.
I think what you're saying is that he needs to get out of Utah, not for his career.
For cards. Yes.
And I mean, you got to look at that as two different things. I mean, it might not be the best thing for him to get out of Utah, but from a card value standpoint, it probably is.
Yeah, but it's tricky, though, because if he goes to another team that's going to sell, he's probably not the main guy anymore, right? If he goes to Boston, he's there with Tatum. If he goes to, obviously, Los Angeles, he's, you know, he's overshadowed by LeBron. If he goes to, you know, I think for him to win a championship, he's going to have to be on a super type team. And does that eventually hurt his value because he's not the main guy anymore? So that's something to consider as
well. He goes to the Clippers.
He's not the main guy.
Yeah, teaming up with Kawhi, though? Pretty good.
Yeah, but it looks like he's not going anywhere.
Utah boys.
Utah for life. Well, that's all we got for today's show. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter for all your upcoming news. We got a Facebook if that's what you're into. We're on Instagram, MojoBreak_com. And also, if you're watching us on the main channel, all of our content, including this video, is on our Mojo Break Media YouTube. So go ahead and subscribe there, where that's, you know, that's just our content. You don't have to siphon through all the breaks to find our shows. So, and also, we have an audio podcast. You don't have to be in front of your phone or your computer to listen to the show. You're in the car, you're at the gym, whatever. You can listen to the podcast as well. So that is it for now, guys. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving, and check out our site for Black Friday deals, including ship sealed stock that's going to be lower than cost. So those will be popping up on Friday all throughout the day, and it's going to be limited. So get in there and grab it. All right, guys. Peace.